Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is a perfect question as Trent Dilfer joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Trent Dilfer, welcome to the show. Trent, when's the last time you shotgunned a beer? Because that's how excited we are about the Browns. We're shotgunning beers now.
Ooh, golly. Probably since I was in Cleveland and hanging out with Aaron Shea. Nice.
Before or after the game?
Probably did both the way we played.
Trent joins us courtesy of Panini America, the exclusive trading card partner of NFL and NFLPA. Perfect time to have you come on. We all saw it yesterday. Baker Mayfield has put up some games where he doesn't look like a franchise quarterback, Trent. He looks like an elite quarterback. And you're the perfect guy to have on because you're the soothsayer. You had Mahomes before anybody. How good can Baker Mayfield get? Because he's pretty good now.
I think he could be one of the best, if not the best. He's uniquely gifted. And I don't just mean his physical talent. His competitive makeup, his ability to lead a locker room and get the most out of people. He's done it since he was at Lake Travis High in Austin, Texas, where I live now. And then he did it at Texas Tech, and then he did it at Oklahoma, and now he's doing it at Cleveland. He has great instincts, and he just sees the game as the great passers do. He just sees layers. He sees openings. He has great feel. There's really nothing not to like about him. I said it out of the draft. I said it was just going to be about fit for him, a team that was willing to let him be him and not try to make him into something he's not. And I think that's really the key. I think the key to Baker Mayfield or his secret sauce is he's an fiery, ornery, highly ultra-competitive, kind of different bird, and you can't try to coach that out of him. You gotta let him be him. Like I loved when he said, "I woke up feeling dangerous." I mean, the national media mocked it. I celebrated it because that's who he is, and he wants. He just looks at it a little bit differently than everybody else, and that's what makes him special.
Trent Dilfer joining us on the show, courtesy of Panini America, the exclusive trading card partner of the NFL and NFLPA. Do you find yourself pulling for him because when he is a successful quarterback, and I know we've seen other 6-foot quarterbacks, things like that, but he does seem to be a little bit different. And we're starting to see the offenses in the NFL change to where before guys used to have to fit into a system. Now we're really starting to tailor systems for the quarterbacks. We're seeing a lot of great offense out of it.
About flipping time, man. I mean, the NFL for so long was a league of can't and don't. Offensively, you can't do this, don't do that. We can't because it's never been done. I mean, I've been in more meeting rooms where the offensive coordinator and the quarterback coach says, "Well, we can't try that. That won't work in the NFL." And then I don't know, probably 8-10 years ago, you start seeing a trend. It was starting to shift a little bit. You got new blood. You got a lot of Saturday influences coming into Sunday football. But really, it's been the last 3 to 5 years where now it's a league of can. We can do anything offensively. We're rule breakers. We're going to try everything. And that's really allowed the game to expand horizontally. And as the game gets wider and more spread out, there's more space to be used, and you're playing less in a scrum as a quarterback. And somebody tell me, why did a quarterback have to be my size, 6'4", 230? I mean, nobody can really answer that question, but if you go back and look at it, it's because the game was kind of played in a scrum in the pocket. It was a 7-step deep drop, 7-man protection, 2-man routes, 6 people coming at you, collapsing the pocket, and big and strong and powerful and tall worked. That's what worked when football was that way. But now the game's wide. The splits are wider. Receivers are challenging the boundaries. There's all kinds of space, so there's more gaps. You're not playing in a scrum anymore. So the twitchier athlete wins over the power athlete at quarterback, and it works that way in the field too. And that's what Baker is. He's got a twitchy mind, he's got twitchy feet, and he's got a twitchy arm. And when you have those things, it fits the modern day football perfectly.
Do you think some of this was based on self-preservation? Because I heard you yourself say this a couple of years ago, Trent, where guys are coming from college and they didn't have playbooks, where they're always looking to the sidelines here, and then they get to the NFL and they're in this pro-style system. They have these big, thick playbooks, but they're expected to play from week one, and we're seeing coaches lose their jobs over these guys.
Yes, the NFL had to adapt. A few of us said it, I don't know, let's call it five years ago. I remember saying it around that time, and people mocked me, and I had the Bill Polians and these old farts in the NFL telling me I was wrong, the game will never change. I said, no, it's going to become more like Saturday. Saturday is beating Sunday. It's a better game. It's a more fun game. There's less misses on recruits than there are on draft picks. You can maximize the talent of whatever players you have. They don't have to fit into a box. The game is going to change. And it has, finally. It's finally now where everybody's accepting it. That you can't expect a college quarterback. Well, first of all, you got to go back where I really spend the most time with them is in high school. They don't have playbooks in high school. They learn about 15 plays. Everybody's kind of doing the same stuff around the country. Then they get recruited, and if you're good enough, like Baker and like Trevor Lawrence and Tua and Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray, whoever you are, you're going to play pretty quick. And you're going to play in an offense that has a limited playbook, but they really don't ask you to learn very much. They don't ask you to digest a ton of information, but they ask you to process a lot of information after the ball is snapped. And that's how they're playing football. And then they go in the NFL, and you're going to completely change them? That just doesn't work. So you had to adapt to what Friday nights and Saturdays were doing, and thank goodness the NFL's doing it, because 10 years ago, Baker Mayfield wouldn't have made it. As good as he is, he wouldn't have made it because he wouldn't have had a long enough leash. He wouldn't have had a system that supported him. He wouldn't have had play callers that got him, that understood what he did in college and say, wow, he's one of the best ever doing this stuff. Why not do it in the NFL?
Wow, that's fascinating that you say that. And so my next question is then, do you see defenses, Trent, catching up? We saw the Chicago Bears, what they did to Goff. We saw New Orleans struggle 2 weeks ago against Dallas. Now that, you know, these defensive coordinators have had enough time this year, do you think the defense can catch up, even with the rule changes to the offenses?
Of course. They can. They're always going to be able to adapt. They're writing the book on these offenses. They're realizing a lot of it is smoke and mirrors. There is no answer for pass rush. That is the ultimate trump card, is rushing the passer. Even if you can't hit the quarterback, if you can make him uncomfortable, like Jared Goff was uncomfortable last night, if you can clog up his throwing lanes, if you can get especially in his lap, that's the one that no quarterback, whether it's John Elway or Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre or Baker Mayfield, nobody likes somebody right in their lap. There's definitely answers. There's going to be ebb and flows. But ultimately, you're going to see offenses win the battle more often because the fight isn't necessarily fair. If you can't put hands on receivers, did you see the horrible call in the Dallas-Philadelphia game? On the tight end play for the touchdown where the Philadelphia tight end, you know what I'm talking about?
Yep, absolutely. I mean,
when those things are being called, that's one of the worst calls I've ever seen in a big moment of a game. But when those things are being called, and then when quarterbacks are getting touched in their face mask and it's an automatic first down and 15 yards, the fight isn't fair. So ultimately the offenses will win, but there'll be nights like last night where Chicago, good defenses can rise up and have answers to the test. There'll be nights like when Dallas sequestered the New Orleans offense, but it's not going to be the norm. The norm is going to be 25 to 35 points a game, 350 yards passing, 150 on the ground. It's just too easy to draw up free offense, is what I call it, freebies. Every team starts with 150 yards these days. Every quarterback starts with 10 completions, if the play caller is any good. It's just too easy to get freebie plays.
Trent Dilfer joining us on the show. Is there anyone out of this rookie class in the first round that you are worried about already moving forward in their career?
Well, I'm worried about Josh Allen because he's being celebrated for the running stuff. And it's not that it's bad. I'm not saying that him running for 100 yards is bad. It's obviously not bad. But it's slowing down his progression as a passer because they're allowing him to be a one-read-and-run guy. And that's really what he's doing. You saw it with Mitch Trubisky last night, and Chris Collinsworth made a good point of it, that Mitch hardly ever gets to number two. He is going to pick a guy, let it fly, or he's going to run. Josh Allen, same thing. He's going to pick a guy. If it's not there, he's going to run. And that's a Band-Aid to a bigger issue. And the bigger issue is that passers understand that running is typically their third, fourth option. Steve Young, who I worked with forever, always told it the best. He says, I wasn't any good until I only ran when I had to. And that's what concerns me about Josh Allen. I think Josh knows this, and I think he'll go to work on it, and hopefully the staff's addressed it. But it's kind of, to me, it's this staff in Buffalo and self-preservation mode. It's like, we have to hold on. We just got to let him be him instead of no. We have to develop him because if we're ever going to challenge the Patriots in this division, if we're ever going to be any good, we need a graduate-level quarterback, and that's not graduate-level quarterback play.
Trent Dilfer joined us on the hotline. You saw that touchdown pass to Jarvis Landry. Next Gen Stats said there's almost no chance that should be completed, and Baker completes it. What is he seeing on that play, and is that a dangerous throw for anybody else?
Well, Baker has an incredible ability of throwing guys open. It was the number one thing when you studied him in college that you saw, that he had a great feel for throwing the ball. So throwing a guy open is this. I tried to coin this phrase years ago, and I'm glad it's caught on because I had a great coach that explained it to me in detail middle of my career. It's where in zones you can't wait for a receiver to get into the zone you're throwing it at him. So you have to throw it into that zone before he gets there. So anticipation accuracy, that's throwing a guy open in zone. In man, it's throwing them away from the leverage of the man coverage. And again, it's probably the most important part of accuracy are those two things. And Baker has it in spades. I mean, he did it at Texas Tech. He did it in high school. But at Oklahoma, it flourished. Like, he would make throws that would be no, 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 yes, yes, yes. Because as it's coming out of his hand, you can't see the receiver being open until the ball's there. The ball is throwing him open into a zone. And that's what he did yesterday on the Landry throw is, as he's moving to his left, as he's buying time, and I love the fact that he didn't put his eyes down and go try to run, he sees Landry now breaking away from the inside leverage. And he also understands where that left corner is backing back off. There's a gap in the zone right there. And he was able to throw Landry into that zone. So when he throws the ball, it doesn't look as tight as it ends up looking through his mind's eye as it does when it's completed. But he understands there's a place where he can throw that ball where, one, the leverage defender from the right can't get to it, and the backpedaling corner, the retreating corner, can't rally to the ball. So the great quarterbacks make these tight window throws because in their mind's eye, they're throwing it to an area where the defenders can't make a play. They just need their offensive players to make sure they get there.
Wow, fans are going to love everything Trent Dilfer is saying right now. We appreciate you coming on, Trent. I know you got a bunch of these to do today, and you're joining us courtesy of Panini America, exclusive trading card partner of the NFL and NFLPA. We got to do this again, man. Fans are going to eat all this up, especially now that Baker is playing like this.
I'm his biggest fan, so I'm fired up for the fans in the city of Cleveland and obviously for Baker, not just Baker, but Nick Chubb, two incredible rookies that people should be able to really dive into and celebrate.
All right, Trent Dilfer, follow him on Twitter, Dilfer's Dimes. Good stuff. We'll talk to you again.
Sure.
All right, there he is, Trent Dilfer. Boy, we got a lot awesome to react to. We don't have a lot of time to do it, so stick with us. We'll close the show with some of that analysis next here on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.